Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Cammy and Gabe, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Welcome back to What's Up Peoria, everybody. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Cammy.
And this week, the show will be formatted a little differently than usual. We have two guests representing two different local eateries this week. But since we can't fit everyone in the studio at once, we interviewed each set of guests one at a time. It's Caffeine and Cuisine this week, and we're so excited to share with you a couple of great talks we had. First, you'll hear our conversation with Cheris Brown and Moana Comans from 808 Social, a Native Hawaiian and women-owned local coffee shop near City Hall downtown. After the break for Poetry Corner, you'll get to hear us speak with owner and mastermind of Char Pizzeria in North Peoria, Sina Mamola, joined by the very woman whom she cites as her inspiration, her phenomenal mother, Rosa. What a treat! Are you ready to get started then? Grab a toasty mug of coffee, tea, or cocoa as we sit and chat with 808 Social's very own Cheris and Moana. Hi, Cheris and Moana. Welcome to What's Up Peoria. Would you like to introduce yourselves to the audience and talk a little bit about 808 Social and who each of you are?
My name's Moana. I'm the general manager for 808 Social, and here with my cousin Cheris. So we brought a little bit of Hawaii to downtown Peoria, and we have a lot of drinks to choose from. They have a little bit of a different flavor because we add banana, coconut, pineapple to our Lotus drinks. And we're all about Ohana. So everybody that comes in becomes our Ohana, which means family.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. And as a fellow Polynesian or of Polynesian descent, Filipino descent, I appreciate you bringing the love here to Peoria. I know we could do with it, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We're probably related because we're Filipino too.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Possibly. And anything you wanted to say as introduction, Cheris?
Nope. Hi, I'm Cheris.
Well, glad you both could make it. I really appreciate it. 808 Social is a super awesome place, and we're just so glad to have you both on to tell us more about yourselves and the cafe. So let's get started with a few questions. We've noticed, you mentioned right at the top that you have an emphasis on the Hawaiian word ohana, and I'd imagine listeners familiar with Disney's Lilo and Stitch might view that pop culture touchstone as a useful introduction to ohana as translating to family, as you've said. Mm-hmm. But could you speak a little bit more about, you know, the cultural concept of what ohana means, especially as Native Hawaiians, and how you feel it connects to the role you serve as proprietors of a local coffee shop in Peoria?
So the actual definition of ohana is family, which means, you know, anybody that's blood related. But our ohana and Hawaiian culture extends beyond that. Mm-hmm. So anybody that comes into your life and somebody that you end up sharing stories with or taking care of in some kind of way or vice versa, that becomes your ohana, and hanai means adopted, so your hanai ohana. Oh. So that's how we feel about everybody that comes in to the coffee shop, and it's hard to, if somebody that usually comes in doesn't come in, we know about it because we get to know each other so well, so we always wonder like, hey, where did Doug go, or where did Kay go? So we start asking around, and we get on social media like, hey, where'd you go?
Yeah.
Are you on a trip?
Yeah.
Tell me.
You know what? Those kind of things actually mean a lot to people too. Mean more than you think they do, because some people don't have anybody checking up on them. And so when they come into the coffee shop, like a lot of times that's the joy of their day, right? Is coming in and starting it out with something that makes them happy. As a patron of your coffee shop, I also can experience that recognition. Like, we come in, you guys know who we are. Yep. And it's always good vibes, and it's the perfect start today. So you're definitely fulfilling that. And you can tell that when customers walk into the shop, they know you and you know them. So very true. So Cheris, you and Moana are cousins, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're first cousins.
And is there any other family members in the shop? Like blood relative?
I mean, your sons.
Oh, your sons.
I fired them.
And are they twins?
They're twins. They're
twins.
They're
twins. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I've seen the boys in there before. Yeah. It's been a while now that you mention it, but
their attendance is spotty.
Yeah. First job for them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How old are your boys?
They're 17.
17. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're in that stage where life's busy.
Right.
At 17, you know?
Right.
Big social life. So I get that. Yeah. That's awesome.
They'll get better. I know for sure.
But you know, our entire staff, I feel like, is our Ohana. Like I feel like they're our Hanai daughters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, I love that.
Definitely. I love them like they're my kids. I scold them like they're my kids, you know?
Yeah. And they probably don't take it, you know.
Right.
They take it as family too.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that.
And that's just the culture. I mean, being born and raised in Hawaii, that's our culture. It's our way of life. So it's nothing that is forced.
Yeah.
You know, we are genuinely like that. So
yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I feel like there's probably a lot of comfort you can get in being able to have that kind of relationship,
right,
too. I think that's inherently very, like, a welcoming and warm kind of community building
philosophy. Absolutely. Yeah.
Being happy at work and having a good work family is, like, so important to quality of life, right?
Yeah.
So that's also kind of cool because you're not only providing that space for the public and your patrons, but you're also providing that for your staff. So
yes.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos.
And myself, because if not, I wouldn't have any friends.
Yeah. True. I'm sure it's very fulfilling in that aspect. Yes.
Yes, she would.
I relate to that.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a question for you all. So why particularly a coffee shop? What inspired you to open a coffee shop, and how did you land in Peoria? So can you tell us a little bit about how that started?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I just moved here going on 4 years.
Okay.
So we moved in the middle of COVID.
Oh, and tough time to move, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was crazy. But I owned a tattoo shop back home in Hawaii, and I've also owned a event business with my best friend.
Okay.
During COVID, that whole thing shut down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just an entrepreneur,
you
know? So, again, I'm looking and trying to figure out what we can do, what's a necessity, what we're able to do, because both our businesses are already shut down. And I was like, oh, what about coffee? We're thinking about a bar. You know,
yeah.
I was like, I will sling some drinks.
Yeah,
yes. I've been a bartender. Why do you want to do coffee?
Right. Oh,
yeah. That's, I'm like, that's 808 Junior or 808 point. What is it? 2.0. Yeah. Okay.
But I was like, no, you know, it's not essential. Bars can always shut down too. You know, so that was kind of iffy.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll do coffee. Plus, we can bring our Hawaiian coffee, which is, you know, A grade, top tier coffee. And then it'll maybe attract some of the Hawaiian community to our shop, which I felt like was going to be more comforting to me because it's my transition. The transition from being in Hawaii for X amount of years, you know, 20 years of my life.
Yeah.
To now, like, oh, how am I going to do this? I need to still be surrounded by, you know, my culture and my people, because sometimes I feel like people here could be angry, you know, and you know, so just it's just a culture shock for me. So I was like, let's try this.
Yes.
Let's try, you know, and Moana was like, are you serious? And like, I'm telling you, we had to fly in one of my friends that own and ran Lion Coffee Company back home in Hawaii to come up and train us.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because we had no idea.
Wow.
I drink Keurig coffee.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
We did a lot of Googling and YouTube videos also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you nailed it. I mean, So the Lion Coffee that you serve, you actually, there's a real connection there with the roaster.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Okay. And it's all roasted. It's Hawaii's favorite coffee. So it's like the house coffee back home in Hawaii because, you know.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It is my favorite. That's my order.
It is.
Moana
knows
this. Totally. I always come in and I get an iced, it's Lion Gate. Is that right?
Or
is
it just Lion?
Lion Gold. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. I come in and get an iced Lion Gold coffee.
Coconut.
with two pumps of coconut and cream.
I love coffee too.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know people, to our listeners, you have to go in and try the Lion Gold coffee.
Straight
from
Hawaii.
So good. Yes. That's so cool. I did not know that connection. Yeah. And I love that it's like you said, it's the favorite. It's the standard in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So
of course we have the 100% kona, which is top tier, but then everybody would be paying $10 for a small little cup of coffee, you know?
Okay, yeah. So that's cost why we is go quite with, different yeah. on those? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why that we go sense. With Lion.
Yeah. Well, I know that you guys also have a few other items that you continually provide in your shop that are also Hawaiian, Filipino, like your musubi, is that right? Mm-hmm. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Musubi, the ube cookies and stuff that you guys, ube cookies and brownies, as well as there's some of the, I can't remember the brand, but it's the kettle cooked chips that are like sweet Hawaiian flavor. I don't know if those are actually Hawaiian, are they a Hawaiian brand?
Yeah.
Oh, God, those are good. Are the onions really different there? Because
those
Maui chips, onions. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's like my drug. Like, I could just eat a whole bag of those. But in addition to those food items, you also have kind of some curated gifts and little trinkets and things of local makers, right? Tell me a little bit more about just some of the other items that are centric to what you guys offer as 808 Social and it being a Hawaiian coffee cafe.
So we have, like you said, our ube, our ube, we have cookies and brownies, and that is actually made by one of the girls that works with us.
Oh.
And she's also from the same town that we're from in Eva Beach on Oahu.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Love it.
She
and
also.
We met her here.
We did.
So we didn't know her from back home.
Yeah.
That's wild.
She's just a little bit younger than us.
A lot younger. She's like my kid's age.
I love that.
Yeah. And then her, so she has her little business with her husband, and they also sell poke.
Oh.
And they do pop-ups at the coffee shop every so often.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's just one of them. And then one of our other girls that works there, Sam, she sells her her cookies there all as well. And you'll see them right next to the ube cookies.
Yeah.
She's from Texas.
Okay.
But, I mean, she's still our Hana.
She's
daughter.
Got the heart. Yeah. She's Ohana.
Yep.
She can tell anything in the shop.
And then there's a few other things in there, too. There's, like, these frames with these Scrabble tiles that has, like, it says mom or grandpa or grandma. Yeah. That's one of my personal friends. She makes those out of her home, and we sell those at the shop as well. There's, like, magnets. Uh-huh. And everything that you see in there are from little local vendors around Peoria.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that it's like these, you have given your Ohana, your close friends and family, a place to also sell their goods and to the public. It's not just your coffee shop. You're also providing that opportunity for others. So, and ube is something that not everybody is familiar with. It's purple. And so I think that's like the most distinct thing about ube. But what is ube?
So it is, a lot of people get it confused with taro, and it's not the same.
Okay.
So ube is a sweet purple yam.
Okay.
And so it's like a sweet potato.
Yeah.
And it's used in a lot of Filipino desserts.
Okay. So mostly desserts.
Mostly desserts.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
And it's probably really good for you because, like, purple sweet potatoes and purple yams are a lot of times considered, like, superfoods.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So, I mean, in a cookie, you're, like, you're killing two birds with one stone. You've got a treat, but you're also getting superfoods.
Absolutely.
And then the musubi is it's almost like little sushi rolls, but they're larger and they're made with rice, spam, sautéed spam, right, and rolled in seaweed. Is that right?
You can just be our spokesperson.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, maybe I should let you tell us.
No, you're doing great.
It's a staple. I ate lunch before this.
Right? Jeez. Now we're hungry.
It's a
and those sell out fast, right?
They do.
Because I know I've come in the morning, and then when Joey and I used to come by for our late treat in the afternoon, like your ube container would be gone. You're like, oh, yeah, these sell in like the first couple hours, right?
Right, right.
Nice. Yeah. I love that. Love the local offerings.
So if you've ever gone to Hawaii and just went to visit, if you stop at a gas station, you stop at a grocery store, you stop anywhere, they offer spam musubi. It's a huge staple in Hawaii. Yeah. So that's why we have them. I swear it's my kids' favorite food. You ask them what their favorite restaurant is, and they'll tell you 7-Eleven.
Oh, my gosh. I was just about to say, it's kind of like the gas station hot dog in like every other every other state.
Absolutely.
That's Hawaii's gas station hot dog is Musubi. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Spam and rice is like a huge staple in my family. So like having it as one unit.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Perfect. Beautiful.
I know.
And you can drive and eat it.
Yeah.
It's perfect. The perfect food.
Food item of the gods.
Yes.
So we also wanted to ask you, so you guys have extended your passions beyond just the cafe. You facilitate a number of community events throughout the year that highlight Hawaiian traditions as well as the overall Polynesian and Pacific Islander cultures, foods, and music. Can you tell us a little bit more about those events, and when is the next 808 event coming up?
So we usually have one in May, and that one is going to be at Osuna.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Osuna
right
Park
in the heart of downtown Peoria.
Yes. Yep. And we usually have either one or two hula halaus. A hula halau is just the group of hula dancers.
Okay.
So at least one or two of them performing, and then we have live music. We have a lot of food vendors that come, so if you end up coming, please come hungry.
Yes.
We also have like a little keiki area. Keiki means kids. So bounce houses and like little arts and crafts for them to do. And then usually we have about 50 merch vendors. So lots of shopping.
That's exciting.
Lots of shopping. And then, you know, we'll be there with a little booth serving up our drinks over there too.
Love it.
Yeah.
Is because I remember you guys did something with Poke a couple years ago. It was at Poke Festival. Was that part of May Day, or were those two separate things?
Separate. It was two separate things.
They were separate. Poke is a huge thing in Hawaii too, but May Day is actually one of our most cherished cultures and traditions that we have back home in Hawaii. So May Day is Lei Day in Hawaii. So everybody's making leis. And and what we did back home is every school would do it, every elementary school, you know, we would all, everybody would have to do a performance.
Okay.
And you'd have to dance and you have to sing or you have to do whatever you're doing in front of the royal court.
Wow.
Which is the king, the queen.
Yeah.
And then all the islands have princes and princesses.
Yeah.
So they all sit at the front, and then you as a class would go and perform and do all of that stuff. So that's where we got it from. We're like, oh, that's perfect, you know, to bring to the community and share with Peoria and with Arizona, like all the super cool things that we used to do.
Do you remember our first one?
Hey,
so
those beginning stories are important, right?
Oh, my God.
That's
is.
Where you learn.
It
yeah.
is.
So, yeah. So every grade performs separately. And our first one that we had to do, we were everybody was wearing like one of their dad's like big aloha shirts.
Okay.
And we were dancing around. We were supposed to be minor birds. Right. Right. And we were just dancing around like little chickens.
Is that a bird native to Hawaii?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's native, but they're everywhere.
Minor. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. There's actually a video of us doing it. That's why I remember. I was like, oh, look at me and Charis. We're so little.
I love that.
Wait, what about the Chi-Chi Papa one?
Yeah, that's Chi-Chi Papa.
Okay, if people are confused and you want to know what does a minor bird do, what's Chi-Chi Papa?
Come to the shop.
Come to the shop and come to May Day this spring.
All of the lore.
Right.
I love that.
If you catch me and Charis at a good time, we might do the dance for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
An exclusive performance.
Hold on, I remember the actual dance.
That's the exclusive offer for our listeners is that one time only when they come in with purchase of coffee.
Right. Yes. You mentioned Chi-Chi Papa.
I love that. Okay, cool. So dance is a big part of May Day.
Yeah, nice.
I actually took hula in college.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I enjoyed dance of all kind, but I took hula for one semester and I just absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really storytelling.
Very.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I mean, all the hand movements. We did keep your eyes on the hands. Have you heard that Hawaiian song?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. Probably very generic. Yeah. We did several dances to different songs, but that one was fun because it's a lot of the hand movements, right. Very graceful hand movements, and touching the mouth and the eyes when you're talking about certain, you know, ways that you're moving your body. But I loved it.
Did you have a Hawaiian kumu that taught you folks?
No, she was not. Okay. She did live in Hawaii, and her husband was native to Hawaii.
Gotcha.
Yes. Gotcha. Yeah, but I don't believe she was. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. She's unfortunately.
Kind of, she's linked by her husband.
Yeah. She's Ohana, right?
Right,
yeah.
right.
She's Ohana by marriage. Yeah. But yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so May Day is the next one coming up in May. And then you guys also, you just finished Mele Kaliki Maka.
Yes.
Okay, and that's like a annual Christmas type event, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
How many years have you guys been doing that? This is the second year?
Fourth.
Fourth. This is my gosh. Fourth.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We started our first year.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that's why we're at the parks now, because we outgrew. We used to have him in the parking lot, and now it's just too big.
Yeah.
For the parking lot, because everybody just shows some love.
What are the elements involved in that one?
For Mele?
Yeah.
Mele elements. It's basically
A Christmas market.
Yeah. Okay. It's definitely a Christmas market, but it's a place where you can come, especially our community, that'll come and have all of our cultural things that are there to purchase for family and friends whatnot, because you can't find those in stores.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yes.
We like to have that. And I'll be completely honest, I love our food vendors. They're like all pretty much from Hawaii.
Yeah.
So to have them all in one place, like in arm's reach, is like my whole MO.
It's like your big, your wild, your dream come true, right?
Because most of the Hawaiian places is over on the east side.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. There really isn't a whole lot out here. Okay. So I know that we're getting close to wrapping things up, but I definitely wanted to ask you both just kind of what are your projected vision for 808 in the future, or even just future endeavors, future goals, things that you want to do beyond the cafe or with the cafe? I know you said a tattoo shop was something that was near and dear to your heart,
so cool.
Cheris, and also you said that you had an interest in possibly a bar. Are those dream items?
Well, we've actually just finished up our tattoo cafe. So it's actually a tattoo cafe, and that's in Peoria as well. We're probably going to do a grand opening sometime in January or February, but it's a half tattoo and half coffee shop.
Okay.
So that's on 67th and
Olive. I remember you telling me about that.
Right,
okay, so that's moving forward.
That is moving forward.
That's wonderful.
808 name?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So it'll still be under 808. Okay. It's 808 Social Tattoo Cafe.
That's
so
cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of why we chose that name too. Social is to like be able to expand, but keep it social. You know, everything and anything that we can do socially.
Yeah. You can put a lot under that umbrella.
Right.
Yeah. So that does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then the coffee shop is going to be taken over and bought out by Miss Moana over
really?
Here.
Wow. Oh my
big news.
Big news.
Yeah. Big news. So, yeah.
Amazing.
I plan on sometime after the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I mean,
so you'll be running the shop here closest to Peoria.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And Cheris, you'll be over at the tattoo shop.
And cafe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you an artist? Are you a tattoo artist?
I'm not.
Okay.
She's a promoter.
Okay.
But I'm the biggest cheerleader.
I would say you love the art form, obviously.
I do. It's I never thought that I would get so invested in that industry.
Yeah.
You know, but I did. My ex-husband was a tattoo artist.
Okay.
Which is why we got into that industry. And
yep. Makes sense.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And I just kept rolling with it, even though I don't like to tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
like
that's cool.
To get tattoos.
Exactly.
It's always good to know a reputable, like a solid tattoo shop too. I have a couple.
Oh.
But you know what I mean? Like you can't just trust anybody. So.
No. Yes. Especially out here. So it's so different.
Yeah.
You have to go through like hoops and like all kinds of stuff to get a tattoo license back home in Hawaii.
Really?
Here, you can buy a kit on Amazon and be like, I'm a tattoo artist.
Really?
Yes.
There's a ton out here too.
There's a lot.
Every corner.
So, yeah, I mean,
Well, that's personally, another good one on Hawaii for making it difficult, because it should be. It should be difficult.
yes. You need medical certifications, bloodborns, you need all of that stuff.
Yeah,
And I think that's necessary, because you got to be sterile. You got to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went to some shops out here, and I was like, where are we?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so when is the shop projected to open?
We are looking to open, completely open, with our full menu in January.
In January, gosh.
Yeah.
That's a month away.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So we're doing that. But
And continuing on with the events, too? Is that something you guys want to continue doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because, you know, we need our food in one area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. For sure.
Yes.
Like you said, we don't have much in the West Valley in terms of Polynesian, Hawaiian, Filipino food. So you guys are basically like the plug, right?
Yeah.
We try a little melting pot.
Yes. Yeah, we try to be. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Gabe.
Thanks for having us.
Did you guys want to add anything to the episode? Just kind of final thoughts?
Even if it isn't a plug, maybe like a shout out to a friend. Other members of the Ohana?
Well, we do have a friend that just opened their business not too long ago, Happy Honu. So shout out to them and go check them out. They serve shave ice, and they're off of 89th Avenue in Union Hills.
Okay, Happy Honu.
Yes.
Okay, and it's a shaved ice. Is it like a brick and mortar? Is it like okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. On 83rd Avenue and Happy Valley.
Yeah. Union Hills.
Oh, I'm sorry, Union Hills. Yes. 83rd and Union Hills. Awesome.
Shave ice.
Okay.
I know a ton of people who'd be interested in that. And I bet you listeners will be. So check it out. And of course, as always, check out 808 Social, because they're awesome. Say hi to Cheris and say hi to Moana and anyone else who might be there.
And you guys have social media, right? Plug that real fast. What are your social tags?
So it's 808 Social AZ, and we also have 808 Social Tattoos and 808 Social Events.
Okay,
all three of them.
Thank you so much. Well,
thank you again. And so now it's about time to move on over. We've got a little break for our next segment, and we're going to go to the Poetry Corner.
Poetry Corner.
For this episode, I decided to bring a poem that I actually wrote myself a little while back that I felt tied in nicely with our theme and guest specialties of food. This one is called Leftovers. Here today and gone the next, remembered only by his casserole or some home-cooked dish meant for many, you'll have to eat it before it goes bad. And if what he made was too much, share it with me. When she's gone, you have to eat the leftovers. If you don't, the fridge will start to smell something terrible. All the other food inside will spoil, or at least adopt its stink. I want you to enjoy what I cooked for you. I want you to taste it and think of me, and just in case, I'm going to make your favorite meal every day. I promise I'll only make enough for you, so the thought of me doesn't rot away, stuffed behind the milk in a flaking plastic container. And whatever you leave behind for me, I will try and try to eat it quickly, but not so fast the flavor is forgotten. I will savor it for as long as I can, little bites throughout the week, until it's all gone. Sorry.
I love that. Ugh. No. I like that it obviously invokes a lot of emotion in you. I mean, it's coming from this is your lived experience. You're reflecting on something that means a great deal to you personally.
Yeah. Food is, making food is a way for us to connect with each other. And it's a means of care. It's a mean of expressing your love for somebody.
Yeah.
And I was just having some, thoughts about it hasn't happened, but one day it will, but loss is something that we all will eventually have to deal with. And, I feel like, you want to appreciate what you have and not let it go to waste. And I feel like food is a great metaphor for that, and I feel like we all can kind of relate to that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you shared that with me before we read the poem, I was thinking of my grandparents right now, actually. I was just at their home for Thanksgiving, and my grandpa is in poor health, and my grandma is in not much better health, and she's taking care of him. But she taught me how to make a lot of those recipes for Thanksgiving this year. So when you're saying that, I thought, you know, it does, that does actually very much resonate, because they're here only for a short time, right? Like, it's really just like a blip, and it just teaches you to savor and enjoy as much as you can while you can, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Love that.
Thanks for indulging me my own art here. And thank you to all of you listeners for letting me read my poem to you all. I think now's the perfect time to think warm brick oven toasty thoughts as we head into our interview with Char Pizzeria's Sina and her mother, Rosa.
Yay.
Welcome to the show, Sina and Rosa. Could you tell us a bit about yourselves and what Char Pizzeria is for anyone listening who might not already know?
Char Pizzeria is a true Neapolitan style pizzeria. It's very approachable. We wanted to bring the Neapolitan-style pizza to the Northwest Valley. Many, many times we'd have our family or friends in town and wanted to get together and found ourselves driving way into Phoenix. And we're like, why are we driving so far? Like, let's bring this culinary experience to the Northwest Valley and make it approachable. You know, not being a sit-down restaurant, we are a, what I like to call a fine, fast, casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it does make it that much more approachable. So you can come in and know our prices are very reasonable. $11.99 for a margarita pizza is not something you find very often. And we also offer bruschetta, the salads. You know, we have a full bar, a huge patio that families love for their little kids.
Yep.
So it really becomes a very comfortable gathering place for the locals.
Yeah.
For the full families. And that was what we kind of grew up with. And my mom, being from a little small town just outside of Naples, she was the inspiration. Rosa.
I grew up on a farm with my parents.
We in had Naples. Is that right?
It's called San Pietro, my town, very small town.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But just outside of Naples.
Yeah, outside of Naples. And we were on a farm. I was on a farm every day with my parents.
Wow.
Grew up everything.
Yeah.
All different vegetables. We had a cow, so we have a pig. Rabbits and chicken, stuff like that.
Truly farm to table.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Everything fresh every day.
That's amazing.
I was super spoiled growing up with her her culinary background. And I think what would always making our food that we grew up with so special was the freshness. You know, Italian food, when you go to Italy and you wonder, how is it that everything just tastes so much better there? It's because it's so fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we have the ability to do things fresh here, but for some reason in America, we like to overcomplicate it and make, you know, add too many ingredients so it sounds fancy. And it's like, it's not about that. Sometimes it's the clean simplicity. That's what we incorporated, like, in our dough.
Yes.
It's, you know, people ask all the time, do you put sugar in your dough? Do you put this? Do you put that? No, it's clean. It's simple. We stay true to the Neapolitan tradition. We actually have a VPN of the Vera Produzione Napoletana, like to make a true Neapolitan pizza.
Wow.
And a lot of that is
tomato and stuff.
To make the, for the tomato sauce. And
I love that. You're speaking straight to our foodie hearts.
Yeah, we
wanted to do this episode because we're both foodies. And like, even just hearing the way that you discuss food, it just shows that you truly do appreciate, you know, food in its truest forms. Like you said, sometimes it's those, it's the simple traditional recipes that you cannot duplicate. I mean, you know, by adding fancy ingredients and trying to do things really extra. It's just present it as beautifully as it is. Yeah.
The freshness is
the
important.
Freshness, yes.
We do the dough every day.
You do the dough every day?
Every day.
Okay.
Fresh.
And slice the cold cuts every day. And
I love that.
The sauce that we crush the tomato, the San Marzano tomato, every day. Everything's daily.
How early do you have to get started?
Even
to
the mozzarella. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Please share.
Even the mozzarella we shred every day.
Really?
Fresh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. I'm so excited to eat there tonight.
Yes. Yes.
For our holiday really party. Good. Our listeners don't know, but we're having dinner there for our holiday party tonight, and I'm very excited about it. Then
test the bruschetta too.
Really? Oh. Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I love bruschetta. That last time is so good.
Yes. Ugh. Are the breads made in house as well?
No, unfortunately, we do have it baked for us.
Okay.
Wildflower Bread Company, which, you know, okay. They do a great job.
They do. Yeah. Their bread is fantastic. Yes, they're one of my favorites too, actually. Okay, awesome. Awesome. So to my question, though, is how early do you guys have to get started? Because I know the prep for pizza is really wood-fired pizza. Are they wood-fired?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So wood-fired pizzas are really, would you say that's like the majority of your menu, or do you have a full menu of traditional Italian dishes?
Actually, it is a pretty limited menu.
Okay.
We primarily do the pizzas.
Okay.
And we have four basics that you could choose from in and of themselves are absolutely perfect. A bianca, a pesto, a margherita, and yep. plain cheese.
Yep.
You can always modify it by adding any additional topping or choosing from our specialty pizzas, which are pre-designed but made to order. So we can always modify or adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
We also offer the bruschetta,
yep.
salad, and desserts.
Okay.
And again, it's just kind of keeping it simple.
I love that.
At the end of the day, I mean, you can't go wrong with pizza and a salad.
You got the gluten-free, too.
Oh, very popular, very common.
Two different kind.
Okay.
Gluten-free options and vegan
yep.
Cheese and options. And
you
I love
build
that.
Your own pizza the way you want.
Build your own pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever type you like.
Nice. So you don't necessarily have to order the menu item pizzas. You can do a nice build your own, put whatever you want on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. Okay. I'm excited to try tonight. Personally, I love a good white pizza.
Mm. We have a nice special white truffle oil, Bianca right now on special.
Okay. That's probably what I'm getting tonight.
You're in for a treat. Yeah, you really are.
Do you guys?
The poli ricotta that we make cannoli too.
Cannolis as well?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Homemade.
I can't wait. I love cannolis too.
Well, thank you so much. We're so glad you can make it. So our questions may be geared more towards Sina, but please, both of you, if you would like to talk about anything,
both of
it's
you.
Open
please
discussion.
Yeah.
Just dive right in. So first off, as we understand it, Sina, you're a bit of a restaurateur with char being only one of your edible endeavors the public can enjoy. Italian food is certainly a specialty that you exceed at, and we wanted to know, what are some ways that you've gotten your own family's culinary touch in front of our hungry citizens?
What Italian restaurant?
Yeah, kind of.
I had it for 15 years.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We had the real Italian, mm-hmm. Italian food, freshly, like I say, every day. We do the soup, chop the fresh vegetable every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we used to do the lasagna, all kind of meat, veal, chicken.
Was this a restaurant before Char?
Yes, this was.
Oh yeah, I had for
Portofino restaurant.
Portofino restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. Even before that, my parents had a pizzeria in Brooklyn. Wow. Yeah, just kind of grew up in the restaurant.
That's incredible. Yeah. Food is your family.
Yeah. And chicken, we sit down and we get together for family meals, and it's usually a 2 or 3 hour experience.
I love that.
Not just the hustle and bustle of.
She used to go to school, 13 years old, and bussing table after school.
Okay, wow. At the restaurant. So she grew up in it.
She grew up in it.
Yes,
and that's how she started. She got older. She was a managing. She was a server. She
did everything.
And now she did everything, and now she got her own.
Now she's the boss lady.
Yeah.
Now she's the boss lady.
Well, actually, you're the boss lady, but she's next in command,
again,
right?
She was the inspiration for anything. I definitely couldn't be here without my mom's teaching.
I love that.
I have beautiful kids.
Yes. Do you have siblings? Yes.
I have another daughter.
Okay.
She's the youngest.
Okay.
And my son is the middle.
Okay. So three children.
Three kids.
Love it. I love that it's very family centric. That's what makes restaurants good, honestly.
Two girls and
all
a
the
boy.
Good ones are are made from family. So love that.
And they all grew up. They helped me in the business. my oldest daughter too, because she was older than her. She was helping me manage in that time. And then my son, he learned how to cook.
Yep.
He was a good chef, too.
He was an excellent chef.
Okay. He's an excellent chef, too.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It's definitely in the family.
Yeah. Keeping that tradition alive, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Sina and Rosa, with char being a distinct expression of the Momola family and the dishes and recipes that have been passed down through generations, we'd like to hear what each of your distinct favorite meals are. Like, what is that one thing that I would love to hear your answer to as well, Rosa? Just, like, those traditional recipes, that meal that just brings you back. Like, it's that one thing that you never get tired of eating. It reminds you of your childhood. To this day, like, it's your favorite.
Well, pizza. I think everybody loves pizza.
No, but your favorite is...
My favorite, the bruschetta caprese.
Okay. Oh. Ooh, bruschetta caprese.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say it in my best authentic Italian accent. Yeah. Okay. So bruschetta is the, tell us what it is, because some people wouldn't know. I think I know what it is.
It's a slice of bread that we put the fresh basil.
Okay.
There's a little bit of oil and salt and pepper.
Yep.
And tomato.
Tomatoes.
Yep.
The fior di latte mozzarella.
Fiordilata mozzarella, and then on top of we drizzle the balsamic vinaigrette.
Glaze.
The glaze.
The glaze, yeah.
Yeah.
Glaze is the way to
really
go.
That's really good. Yeah. The glaze makes
simple but amazing, right? Oh. Yum. And how about you, Sina?
It depends on what day of the week it is.
Too many.
One of my favorites is the prosciutto and fig. Which also has the balsamic glaze that finishes it off on
this
top.
This is one of the pizzas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so prosciutto, dried figs, it's like a margarita base with arugula, and we use the shaved Parmesan on top and the sweet balsamic glaze.
Oh, my gosh.
But then other days, I really just want the simple, like, cheese pizza with oregano, garlic, a little crushed red pepper, just to season. I like a properly seasoned cheese pizza.
Yeah.
It's so perfect and delicious. Honestly, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
It's so simple, but it's so elegant in its simplicity, like you were saying.
Yeah. So oregano is something it's you sprinkle on. Okay, I was going to say, ooh, oregano. That's a little insider trick there, right? Because when you're saying, like, season a pizza, I think, like, probably, like, common misconception is, like, oh, you just load the toppings. Who seasons it? But you're saying, like, you got to put on some fresh oregano. Is it fresh or dried normally?
Dried.
Dried. Okay, some dried oregano. Any other seasoning, like salt and pepper, does that go into it? Or is that more just in the sauce?
You don't need that. And honestly, cheese by nature is salty.
Yeah.
So that
even homemade mozzarella has some salt to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And and the crushed red pepper, because I like a little kick.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Spice is always
and garlic.
Nice.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you. That was fun. It's nice to hear sometimes what the restaurant owners and the people who have been so involved in the business for so long, like, can they list their favorite food? Because you're around food all day. Uh-huh. But that's perfect. Thank you.
It's always something I wonder about, too. Do you ever get sick of your own food?
Yeah.
Thankfully not.
Doesn't sound like it.
No? We literally just celebrated our 9th year, and No. I cannot eat enough pizza. No, I know. I have weeks I'm like, okay, I need to cut back. I had to, get to join the new gym.
I was going to say, it's the bike riding that your mom told us about, and it sounds like you stay active, so it's like you deserve that pizza. That's what it's about. It's balance,
nice,
right?
This pizza is so light and delicate.
Yeah.
It's not. It just
is very thin.
Mm-hmm. It's very
much
healthier.
Okay. There's actually stories or studies on how you could lose weight eating this style pizza versus, others, because others are like a seat cushion sometimes.
That's true. That's true.
Too much dough.
So many variations of pizza that we see here, Chicago style, the Detroit style, which is all like majorly thick crust and totally different experience and like authentic.
Absolutely delicious. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I know, I love them. My father actually is from Sicily.
Okay.
And he would make a Sicilian pizza.
Okay.
Which is super thick. And we grew up with that too. And
oh, okay. See, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, maybe if we do another pizzeria, we can incorporate that.
Yeah, that's something I didn't realize, is that Sicilian would be thicker crust, Sicilian-style pizza. Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's square cut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, or rectangle, either way.
Yeah.
I think I've got a family member who calls it grandma-style pizza, I think.
When it's square and Sicilian
square
style,
and thick, and
I wonder if they have that heritage.
Yeah, maybe it's grandma and grandma's Sicilian.
There you go.
Yeah, I love that.
One thing I would like to mention again is, you know, when we would dine out, when you come out with a family, and you just want to get into that good family time, and you're breaking bread with your loved ones.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to do that and not be interrupted. We've kind of found that going out to eat at a full serve restaurant, you know, you're in, as soon as that conversation got going, you were interrupted by a server.
Yeah.
And mind you, it's fantastic. That's a good server doing their job. Yeah. They're checking up. They're making sure you have everything you need. But the way we kind of have our stuff is set up is that we get you everything situated. So that now all you got to do is sit down and eat.
Yeah.
And take that time with your family and not be interrupted. Like, you could just now enjoy and relax.
I love that.
With our setup. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I noticed last year, too, when I went to our department's holiday party, it felt very conducive to, like, just sitting and chatting. And the full bar was great, too, because we can step away from our conversation, get a drink, come back to the conversation. Yeah. And it's just so light and so, you don't feel, it's very relaxed.
Kind of at your own pace.
Yeah, great atmosphere and very, very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, atmosphere and ambiance are important too in the dining experience. And like you said, when you come together, it's important to have those elements that people feel comfortable and they want to share and they want to talk. And that's what, you know, food bringing people together in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. For sure. Yeah. So I know that it's not all rainbows and butterflies running a business. And it's said that running a restaurant business is a labor of love, and the dedication to keep a business up and going is really a passion pursuit. What is it like running a business these days? And it's from your long history, it sounds like running a restaurant has been a part of most of your life. So I'd just like to know, like, what is it that keeps you motivated? Why is it that being restaurateurs is something that you are dedicated to, like, this is your life? Share a little bit with
something
us.
You have to love.
Yes, right? It's
the love you put into it.
Yeah.
And you see the customer, they're happy. Yeah. That makes more that you want to be in there.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of the day, I think my mom and I could both agree that we just love people. And
yeah,
meeting new people every day, hearing their stories, even the staff, like, we've had so many kids and people of all ages, really, but, you know, that have come and worked with us, first-time job, and then you see them years later getting married, having their own kids. I've hired their kids. Aww. Like, I love that.
It's kind of fun, it's like the customer, it's like your family because you see them every day.
Yes.
Sometimes you didn't see your family as much as the customer.
Right? Yes.
That's the way I used to feel when I had my restaurant. As a matter of fact, no matter where I go, my daughter, she said, "Ma, you look like a celebrity." They still remember I sold the business 2022.
Okay.
No, 2002.
2002. Oh, 2002.
2002. Yes, it's been a hot minute.
Minus 20 years.
And, I mean,
yeah, people still recognize
me no matter where I go. I hear my name and I turn around and
yeah. Rosa, I've only known you for a very short time and I could see that you would be unforgettable.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I love people. That's what it is.
And that exudes off of you, really, both of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell.
Yeah, we both love people.
Yes, yeah.
To have a business, you have to love people.
To, yeah.
You have to love people. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't make it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. It's actually interesting because the two ladies who are the business owners of the local coffee cafe here, they're both native from Hawaii, and they they're family cousins, and they run 808 Social, and something that is a huge part of their business is Ohana, which it means family. And we talked about, you know, what is it? Why did you want to open this coffee shop? And it's so interesting because their answer is so closely parallel to exactly what you just said. It wasn't just about the patrons coming in that makes them happy and that become family, because they did say that too. But just like you said about the staff, it's these people that come in that work for them that become their family. And that was one of the things that they also said was this driving factor to why do they continue to do what they do in this business. So that's very special.
It is. It is. See a customer happy, that's the whole world.
Absolutely. From recipes that have been passed down from generation to generation, that makes it even more special. Very cool.
You can't really get that outside of mom and pops, really. It doesn't feel like it, at least.
Mom and pop, you put all your heart into it.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Well, we're so grateful that you both were able to come in and together at that. Thank you both so much. And we love that you're able to share your stories with us and our listeners. And before we let you go, do either of you have anything you'd like to mention or promote, or any words of wisdom, shout outs you'd like to say for our listeners?
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you so much for having us. I feel honored to have been chosen. I know there's so many amazing restaurants in Peoria, and I mean throughout Arizona, of course. But
Christmas party,
we're hosting a lot of parties over the next few weeks.
I can imagine.
It's a good spot for them, that's for sure. And do you have any social media that you might want to?
Oh, perfect. Instagram,
find us
that.
Instagram and
what's your username handles for Instagram? Do you know?
At Char Pizzeria Napolitana.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, check out Char. Check out all the amazing stuff they have going. Stop by the location in North Peoria, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. North Peoria. So you can even plug your address so people know where it's at.
You can come on Friday nights. We have live music on the patio. Always kind of weather permitting, but always adds to the ambiance for sure.
Yeah. Perfect.
Happy hour every day, 3 to 6. Ooh. And
I love a good happy hour.
Yeah, very, very exciting for everybody. Thank you so much. That's about all the time we have for our interview. And we'd like to thank all of our wonderful guests once again for their time and insight into their part of local coffee and cuisine scenes. Thank you guys.
Thank you, Rosa and Tina.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here and making delicious food.
Mm-hmm. Local businesses really deserve the love of their communities. And if you take anything away from our talks with Charis, Moana, Sina, and Rosa, I think it's that we must give mom and pop shops our patronage. We encourage all listeners to try an independently owned place near home instead of a big chain, especially since you can find a lot more about local Peoria culture when you're surrounded by your neighbors. Community is out there. You just have to explore. And who knows? You might just find your new favorite person, place, or tasty thing. Next up is our final segment of the episode, Peoria's upcoming programs and events. Stay tuned because you do not want to miss these. Half of December may be over, but we still have so many great upcoming programs and events underway. Let's get to some announcements, shall we? The Library Express is chugging away down the line with more fantastic, free, fun programs for the whole family. Here's the scoop. You're invited to Storytime with Belle, presented by the Arizona Broadway Theater for its only remaining showing happening the day this episode drops, Thursday, December 19th, 10 a.m. at the Sunrise Mountain Library, so catch it while you still can. Who's ready to spread holiday cheer by singing loud for all to hear? Carol along with Mrs. Claus on Saturday, December 21st at Peoria Main Library at 11 a.m. and then at Sunrise Mountain Library at 1 p.m. FYI, both showings of this event will be taking place instead of either library branch's regularly scheduled story time, so keep this in mind. A winter-bound quest awaits you at the Peoria Main Library's special Christmas-themed Dungeons & Dragons sessions. Don thee now your sleigh apparel for an adventure you won't soon forget at 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 21st. And don't forget to visit our website or call 623-773-7555 to register. Both Maine and Sunrise will be taking a winter storytime break from Monday, December 23rd to Monday, January 6th. We hope you enjoy your holidays and will be excited to see you again when we return. Lastly, the entire library system will close early on Christmas Eve, Tuesday, December 24th at 12 p.m., remaining closed through Christmas Day and reopening on Thursday, December 26th at 9 a.m. We'll also be closing early on New Year's Eve, Tuesday, December 31st, at 3 p.m. and remain closed through New Year's Day, reopening on Thursday, January 2nd, 2025 at 9 a.m. As always, the outside book drops will close the same time the library does and reopen for returns the next day we're open. Don't fret, because we don't charge overdue fees anymore, so you can just hold off on returns until we're open again.
Thanks, Gabe, and I've got a few announcements about what's happening in the rest of Peoria. Don't forget to check out TheaterWorks' production of A Christmas Carol, whose final showing is this Sunday. Find more information for getting your tickets on their website at theaterworks.org or call their box office at 623-815-7930. As with the library's closures, the city offices will also close early on Christmas Eve, Tuesday the 24th, and be closed through Christmas Day. We'll be reopening that Thursday on the 26th.
And with that, another year of podcasts is through. Can you believe it? We want to thank all of you listeners for catching us for this exciting refresh of What's Up Peoria. There's going to be even more to come in January, where you'll be hearing from Jenny and Patrick twice in a row. For now, we hope you all have a safe and happy holiday season, and we'll see you on the other side of the new year. This has been Gabe.
And Cammy.
For What's Up Peoria. See you next time.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.